أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. We move on to Surah Al-Kahf. In the 15th juz of the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf is a Makki surah. It was revealed prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration to Al-Madinah Munawwara, and it is a surah that consists of 110 ayat, 110 verses of the Quran. Now many of us are familiar with this surah. Many of us recite the surah on the day of Jum'ah, for indeed its recitation on the day of Jum'ah has been encouraged in more than one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is one of the special a'mal and special deeds that we perform and look forward to do on the day of Jum'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said about the surah that the person who will constantly recite it on the day of Jum'ah will be safeguarded and protected against the evil influences of Dajjal and the Dajjali system. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith states that the person who will memorize the first 10 ayah, the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, will be protected against the influences of Dajjal. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who will recite the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf will enjoy that protection against Dajjal. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that the one who will recite Surah Al-Kahf on the day of Jum'ah will be blessed with a nur, will be blessed with an effulgence that will remain with him from that day of Jum'ah to the next day of Jum'ah. And through that nur, through that effulgence, he will be protected and he will sort of have a protective gear against himself and the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are other virtues and ahadith related to its recitation and its memorization. The background to the revelation of the surah is an incident that had taken place while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Quraysh, the people of Makkah, they had decided that they will send a delegation to Madinah al-Munawwarah, to the Jews, and ask them about this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who claims to be a prophet and who claims to have received divine revelation from Allah regarding his authenticity and regarding his mention in their scriptures. Because they were the only community that had knowledge of the divine scriptures, the Jews. And they were residing in Madinah Munawwarah. And they wanted to learn from the Jews certain questions that they could present to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to test whether he was indeed a true Nabi. So they sent two of their main leaders of Makkah to Madinah Munawwarah. When they arrived in Medina, they presented their situation before the Jewish community and before the rabbis. So the rabbi said, you should ask him three questions. And if he answers them correctly, then indeed he is a prophet. And if he cannot answer them, or he provides you with incorrect answers for these questions, then he is a liar and he is not a prophet of Allah. What were the three questions? Number one, ask him of the group of youngsters who many years ago left their community and they migrated from their city. What happened to those youth? That's the first question. The second question, ask him regarding the man who traveled the world from the east to the west and what had happened of him. And ask him regarding the ruh, the soul, the spirit and its true nature. So these were the three questions. And when they came back to Makkah al-Mukarramah, they consulted with each other and then decided to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these questions as they were instructed by the Jews. When they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these questions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, come back at a later stage and I shall provide you with the answer, because he did not have the answers and he had to rely on divine revelation. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, inshaAllah. Come back and I will provide you with the answers, inshaAllah. He did not say, inshaAllah. And because of that, revelation was withheld. Teaches us the importance of uttering, inshaAllah. And in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah then instructed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Don't ever say that I shall do such and such a task, or I shall do something غَدًا, the next day or in the future, إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ, unless that you say with it, inshaAllah. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for revelation, and they came back the same day, and there was still no answers with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they came back the next day, and still no answers. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became disturbed and perplexed, and for 15 days, revelation was withheld from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the point where they began taunting the Nabi of Allah, and even making fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Eventually, revelation came to him in the form of Suratu Al-Kahf. Allah says, Alhamdulillah, Alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. All praises belong to Allah, the one who has sent down the book to his abd, the book to his servant. Now, the beginning of this surah, Suratu Bani Israel, or also known as Suratu Al-Isra, commences with Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi layla, that all glory belongs to Allah, the one who caused his abd to travel by night. That was such a huge experience the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had enjoyed, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And on that occasion, when Allah allows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take this journey that was not undertaken by any other human being, Allah referred to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his abd. And yeah, when Allah speaks of the revelation of the Quran on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was greater than even that experience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also refers to him as his abd. So it proves to us that to be known as the abd, the slave of Allah, and to reach that level of ubudiyah, servitude before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what is considered as the highest stage and the best that a person can ever achieve. To go completely and fully, unconditionally into the ubudiyah, the slavery and servitude of Allah. So here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses abd. All praises belong to Allah, the one who has revealed the book, referring to the Quran, to his abd. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he has not made anything in this book crooked. In it there is no crookedness whatsoever. Crookedness, any form of deviation. There's nothing in this book that will invite you towards anything that is not becoming of a human being to do, anything ill, anything unethical, nothing, no crookedness whatsoever. It will not call you towards the inclination, towards anything bad. That is what is meant by iwajah. No deviation, no form of crookedness, nothing. Qayyiman. In fact, Allah calls it qayyim. Qayyim means that it is straightforward, straight to the point. The book, Al-Quran, tells us things as they are. Straight to the point, qayyiman, it is straight and straightforward. Liyundir. Why was it revealed? Allah says, number one, liyundira ba'san shadeedan min ladun, to warn of a severe punishment from Allah. That is, and this is exactly why Allah refers to the Quran as straightforward. That there is punishment exists, It's a reality, and the Quran speaks of it as a reality and as it is. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the book was revealed in order to warn all of human beings and all of mankind of what? Of a severe punishment from Him, from Allah. And at the same time, what does it also do? وَيُبَشِّرْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it also gives good news. It also gives glad tidings. It doesn't only speak of the punishment of Allah, creating fear in people, but it also speaks of the rahmah of Allah. It also speaks of paradise. It also speaks of the good reward promised to those who will believe in Allah and carry out acts of righteousness. So Allah says, وَيُبَشِّرْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it gives good news to the believers. الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Who do and perform acts of righteousness. What is the good news? أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. That indeed for them is a handsome reward. Referring to Jannah. مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Allah says about the believers who perform acts of righteousness and that handsome reward that awaits them, Allah says, مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ. They will dwell in that handsome reward in paradise. They will dwell and live therein forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and understand.